Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
We'll probably never travel to the centre of the Earth, because the reality is that we haven't got down that far at all. The Earth's mantle is just 5 kilometres below us, yet despite numerous attempts to do so, we haven't managed to get down even that far. Dr. Benoît Ildefonse is Director of Geosciences Montpellier, and he's working to get such a project up and running again, and he joins us now on News Talk. Benoît, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
I must say I was under the impression that up to a certain point, large swathes of the world thought the Earth was flat. Particularly, say for instance, the Elizabethans thought the world was flat. Was that not the case at all?
I'm afraid that is complete nonsense. People knew the Earth was flat going back thousands of years, well beyond the birth of Christ, right back into the Greek age. But the notion took hold that that Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, and that all of his sailors were clinging to the rigging, you know, screaming, we're all going to die, and that kind of thing. It sort of come to us from a guy called Washington Irving, who wrote a book called Sleepy Hollow that got made into a Hollywood film a few years ago. And he wrote a kind of hagiographic biography of Columbus in the early 19th century. But it was an origin myth of America. They kind of picked Columbus to be their founder out of an array of different people. And it was Irving who made up this story that everybody thought the Earth was flat and that Columbus proved otherwise and found America in the process, because it's a good story.
Yeah.
And we all like a good story.
Yeah, and I suppose that's from an American Hollywood-y depiction of it. But was there an idea that in Europe, up to a certain point at least, people thought the Earth was flat?
No. It was round. There's a big clue in the sky, the moon and the other planets.
Yeah.
Why would Earth alone? I suppose way back in time, people had thought that, you know, maybe very, very ancient people thought the Earth was flat. But certainly sailors had known the Earth was round for hundreds and if not thousands of years. And as I say, the big clue was in the sky. But that's one of those ideas that's so entrenched in our sort of collective psyche. We kind of think of our ancestors as being a bit stupid sometimes. They knew. All the people who mattered knew, all the writers, scholars. So there's a famous book by the Venerable Bede, the early history of ecclesiastical England. And he was talking about the Earth being round. So that's way back. That's like in the 9th century. So they knew that the Earth was round.
Right. Okay. And it's odd given that kind of flat earthery. I mean, I've interviewed people who think that the world is flat, who think there's a massive conspiracy.
I know. Yeah,
and Otto, you're part of it.
Well, people think all sorts of stupid things, don't they? And I'm sure in your job, you meet them all the time, you know, but people believe all sorts of things which are easily disprovable, like the flat earthery. You know, it's easily disprovable. Why would our celestial body alone in the entire universe be the only flat object? It literally doesn't make any sense. Are all the people who've gone into space, all the astronauts and cosmonauts and all the satellites, are they all lying? And to what end? What benefit? That's the thing with conspiracy theorists. You've always got to think, who's benefiting from the conspiracy? There's no benefit in a flat Earth conspiracy theory. It's ridiculous.
In general terms, then, though, when we get these erroneous notions about people in history or events in history, is somebody deliberately manipulating that?
Well, so yes, the danger with this is you end up sometimes sounding like some sort of the danger with conspiracy theories is that they're theories, but there are some conspiracies and they are kind of just staring us in the face, you know. And in Britain and in England in particular, people are sort of wedded to the I'm not going to say the two world wars were a conspiracy, mind you, but people are kind of wedded to myths around the two world wars, which very much benefit modern politicians like Boris Johnson or, you know, the Brexit tendency of the Conservative Party. They sort of weave these narratives of British exceptionalism and that the empire was a good thing and that everybody liked it and everybody bought, you know, the British Empire was good, whereas all the other empires in history were bad, those kinds of things. They're kind of like conspiracy theories because they're just not true.
Yeah. No, but I mean, is this because you do touch on this in your book about World War II and yeah. You know, the story is often told that plucky little Britain came within a hair's breadth of a German invasion. Is there any truth to that?
Well, not really. But you say that to people and they look at you aghast and they think, oh, he's some treacherous Marxist or something, you know. But it's well known that that story has been massively exaggerated. You know, Britain in 1940, after the fall of France, was one of the three global superpowers. It was a hugely powerful nation that could pull on resources from Canada to India to large areas of Africa. And, you know, my own father, although he was a white Englishman born in Enfield, was in the Indian Army. All of that stuff gets left out of the sort of Dad's Army kind of war film narratives, in which it is, as you say, plucky Brits and like one Spitfire shared between about 100 people, and that they sort of wearily took off their slippers and put down their pipes and sort of climbed in. Oh, come on, chaps, we better go and fight the Germans. Again, the Battle of Britain, we were pretty equally matched in terms of planes with the Luftwaffe, but tell a sort of hearty Englishman that, and a lot of them will look at you aghast. They sort of believed the narrative of the movies over the truth. The thing with the Battle of Britain, of course, as well, is that the Germans had to fly all the way here to do the fighting. It was like every match was an away match. Mm. If they got shot out of the sky and survived, the pilots were put in prisoner of war camps. Whereas if British people got shot out of the sky and survived, or any of the other Commonwealth people in the Royal Air Force, or Poles or Czechs, or any of the other number of people who were pilots, they would go back to base and carry on. So the odds were really stacked against Germany. And in terms of the invasion plan, even the Nazis, even Hitler didn't take it, the notion of a successful invasion of Britain seriously, because the Royal Navy was easily the largest navy in the world. So if the German Navy had tried to cross the English Channel or the North Sea, they would have been, you know, picked off like sitting ducks.
Hmm. Interesting. The book is called Fake History, 10 Great Lies and How They Shaped the World. Otto English, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.